ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It is Dr. Daria. Remember, everything we talk about today, you can find all of it and downloadable on sharecare.com/radioMD. And also check out sharecare.com to take a health assessment, receive personalized content for your own health goals, and just really help you on your healthy path. Now let's jump into the health news of the week. First one is about summer break, and it turns out that this new study shows that kids eat more sugar, watch more TV, and eat fewer vegetables during summer vacation than they do when they're at school. So researchers analyzed data collected from more than 6,400 American children, grades 1 through 12, for the last 5 years from 2003 to 2008. They found that they watched an average 20 minutes more TV a day, drank 3 more ounces of sugary beverages during the day during summer vacation than they did during school. Physical activity levels were about the same, with an average of a little bit of a 5 minutes more per day during the summer than during the school year. But what's a key takeaway here is that a lot of our children have great routines when they're at school and certain nutrition patterns, and they don't get that necessarily in the summer. They have a lot more free time, which can lead to more time watching TV, sitting around, having unhealthy snacks, which is why it's really important that we maintain our health in the summer and take advantage of the time that they have to be physical and get even more physical activity on their schedules, and just let them get out there and let them play and be kids and enjoy the great weather. Now, anybody who was in the band in high school is going to like this next study. The new study suggests that music instruction can help students do better in school by improving their hearing and language skills. So the study included 40 freshmen at high schools in low-income Chicago neighborhoods who were followed until their senior year. About half of them participated in band classes, usually about 2 to 3 hours a week, and the remainder did a fitness physical training program. Now, over the 3-year study, the musical students demonstrated faster maturation in the brain's response to sound and a heightened brain sensitivity to sound details. Now, all of the participants improved their language skills, but those in the music group showed a much greater improvement. So what's a key takeaway here is that music is another way to develop our skills, our brain development, especially as children and teenagers. So really important to keep that in our schools and to encourage your children to have more music education and music participation. It's a great way to help them with further development. Now, this next study is about arthritis. Now, of course, many people struggle with arthritis. It's a chronic illness. It causes weakness, causes pain, loss of movement, and destruction of the joints. It often, as a result of that pain limitation, patients with arthritis have reduced endurance or at increased risk of cardiovascular disease just because they're not getting the same fitness, and the arthritis itself and the inflammation can increase their risk of a cardiovascular disease. So this new study looked at high intensity training to see if it would help with the pain. Now remember, as I said, it affects a huge number of the population. Arthritis affects 1% of the population, about 3 times as many women as men. There are different types. Mostly it's adults that are affected, but it can occur. There are juvenile forms that occur in children as well. Now, previous studies showed that moderate intensity exercises can help improve endurance without causing pain, inflammation, or joint damage. And many studies show that high intensity interval training is more effective for improving endurance than moderate intensity training. So this study looked at high intensity training, and for these participants, they had them go on the spinning bike 2 times a week. They found that not only did it not worsen their pain, they actually saw improvements in their movement and movement towards less inflammation. Not only that, the participants had other health benefits as well. They had a reduction in their BMI, increase in muscle mass, and reduced risk of heart disease. So again, people who have arthritis should not think of that as a reason that they can't participate in even moderate and high intensity exercises. They really should, and those exercises will help them and help improve their arthritis. They may still want to look to things that are low impact, such as this one was spinning or swimming, but really getting out there, high intensity exercise is going to benefit you from multiple standpoints, no matter what health conditions you have. Now, another study, this one looking at adolescents and sleep problems adolescents have. I know a lot of people tend to go through sleep pattern changes as they reach adolescence, staying up a little bit later, maybe having trouble waking up in the morning, really a change from when they were younger children and infants. Now, according to this new study, there's a strong relationship between sleep problems and such as insomnia and even having going even further and having self-harm. So they reported that those adolescents with sleep problems are much more likely to report self-harm than those without sleep problems. Now, the study was done on 10,000 teenagers in Western Norway and asked them a lot of questions on their mental health, questions about sleep, and questions about self-harm. And they found that the risk of self-harm was 4 times higher among the teenagers who fulfilled the diagnostic criteria for insomnia. They also had higher rates of depression, signs of perfectionism even, and ADHD symptoms. So what's a key takeaway is that two things. One, poor sleep can be the sign of these other problems. Sometimes it may be one of the outward signs that a parent can notice, and it can contribute to those problems. If you're not sleeping well, it's going to make all of those symptoms even worse. So to help with their sleep, researchers suggest interventions such as incorporating healthy sleeping habits as part of the treatment. There are a lot of great lifestyle habits that you can really try to coach your teenager so they can improve their sleep. And if you don't know what those are, you can really talk to your primary care doctor, your pediatrician, because a lot of them are very aware of good sleep routines. And it's really important that you speak to them, because those bad sleep routines, also look at that, is that a red flag, to make sure it's not signaling higher levels of stress and negative emotions in your teen, to help you recognize those signs early on so you can intervene and help them improve and grow up developmentally the very best they can be. So speaking of the best you can be is our next study on coffee. And this study found that drinking a consistent moderate amount of coffee each day significantly reduced the risk of developing mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, a precursor to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So researchers studied about 1,400 people ages 65 to 84, and they found that the people in the best mental shape were those who had a regular 1 to 2 coffee cups per day habit. Now, it was interesting. They showed that people who had more inconsistent levels, like people who suddenly increased their coffee habit one day and didn't have it the next, or suddenly decreased, didn't seem to do as well. It was those who had the regular coffee cup, 1 to 2 coffee cups per day. So it's still not entirely clear how coffee has this impact or exactly how much, but it does appear that moderate consumption is neuroprotective, meaning that it protects our brain against cognitive decline and dementia. So our next study was on exercise. We talk a lot about exercise and its importance for health and as children and teenagers and adults as we continue. And this new study found that women who participated in exercise as adolescents had a reduced risk of death from cancer and all other causes in their middle and older ages. So this is really fascinating, because sometimes it's hard to see what the results are of something that you did 50 years ago. But that's what this study looked at. They looked at what people did as an adolescent and how it impacted their health for life. So they looked at about 75,000 women ages 40 to 70. They asked them about detailed information on exercise participation, adult lifestyle related factors, and they looked at the mortality outcomes. Compared to women who did not exercise, those who exercise as adolescents reduce their risk for cancer and all causes of death by as much as 15% later in life. Now, the best outcomes were for those women who exercised as adolescents and then continued to exercise as adults, lowering their risk for death from all causes by 20%. So 20%, you can really cut your risk of death from mortality by a fifth simply by having someone start healthy exercise habits as an adolescent and maintaining that for life. That's a huge number. So really something that we should really be pushing all of our teens and adolescents to get more physical activity and keep it up ourselves. Our last study, we're not going to have too much time to get into it. We're going to talk more about it next week, but it's about getting moving and not sitting so much. So I want all of our listeners this week to, if you think about it, and you're sitting down, just hop up, walk around your office for a minute, get a little bit of exercise in, go back and sit down. It's better for your waistline and it's better for your health. There you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow us on ShareCare at ShareCare Inc. or me at Dr. Daria. And of course, you can find everything we talked about today at ShareCare.com/RadioMD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.